Welcome to Riskerio Radio. I'm your host, Pramod Sharma, actuary to the wealthy. This is episode 156. Where is your advisor's blog? It may seem strange to talk about blogging here on a podcast, but sometimes we need to do strange things. The Global 2012 Edelman Trust Barometer ranks financial services at the bottom, again, even worse than banks. In this context, how do you know if your financial advisor is looking out for your best interests? The same study shows that social media had a dramatic 75% increase as a source of trusted information. Granted, the base was small, that's still a very major increase. Blogging is an excellent way for advisors to continually show they're on your side. Does your advisor have a blog? If not, why not? Questions. Here are some questions to ponder. 1. When did your advisor's blog start? Why not earlier? 2. How many posts are there? Why not more? 3. How often are new posts added? If less than weekly, why? 4. When was the last post published? If more than a week ago, why? 5. Does the content educate you or sell to you? 6. Who writes the content? If not the advisor, why? And 7. Is the content worth reading? If not, why? Advisors continually look for more clients, even if they claim to work by referral only. Blogging is a way to stand out. Excuses. I've been telling advisors to blog since mid-2007. They have many excuses for doing nothing. Three of the most common are not allowed, no time, and not able to write. Let's explore them. Not allowed. Large organizations rarely permit advisors to express opinions in public without pre-approval, and maybe not even then. Policies can prevent online activity like posting links to articles, expressing opinions in groups, or leaving comments on blog posts. Internal restrictions might even ban testimonials to outsiders on LinkedIn. How bland! Since bland doesn't bring ka-ching, the organizations leave a loophole. Advisors are allowed to make questionable claims in seminars and meetings. Why? There's no proof of what took place. It's easy to claim that what you inferred, they did not imply. Advisors who want to express themselves and show that they put you first could leave and start their own businesses. If that's too drastic, they could go through the process of getting their content pre-approved. While the results may look boring and generic, they can still do something. No time. Advisors make time for what matters to them. Shouldn't that include clients? An advisor who doesn't have time might be unproductive. That's where Pick4 or other programs help. If you go to podcast 153, you'll get more details about Pick4. Perhaps the advisor's business has grown and requires more staff. That's a good situation, unless the problem is retaining staff. Can't write. Not everyone can write, but they can learn. It's not as if we were born walking, talking, or cycling. Written communication skills are essential and well worth mastering. Nothing bad could happen from improving, and help is available. Coaches, editors, etc. Even ghostwriters. Excuse busters. How do you explain amateur financial bloggers? They could use the same excuses as advisors, but they found solutions instead. They have the additional handicap of being outsiders. They need to spend time learning before they know enough to tell you. An insider has a huge advantage. Anniversary. This month marks my 5th anniversary of blogging. That's over 500 posts and 250,000 words. I had no training, and talent is a myth conception. I've been encouraging advisors to blog since 2007. I thought advisors with the courage to share valuable free content on a regular basis would learn how and then stand out. In return, they'd attract more clients, retain more clients, and raise standards for the laggards. P.S. What do you think about advisors blogging, or podcasting, or creating video? You can read Riscario Insider online at blog.riscario.com. That's R-I-S-C-A-R-I-O. I'm Pramod Sharma.